the scripture lesson for the sermon. I'll be reading the first 17 verses of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. The word of the living God. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100 and some 60 and some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he who has an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in this the words of Isaiah the prophet were fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Thus far the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the application of it among us. May this be true. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm in the middle of this curious sermon series called The Church Curious. The Church Curious. The church gathers. Here's one of the aspects of curiosity of the church. The church gathers and sermons are given. That's curious. That's odd to some. Preaching occurs. It's actually occurring right now. This is curious. Last week I presented the curiosity, the curious practice of preaching. The Lord has established preaching throughout the Scriptures. The Lord Himself speaks. We speak in response to the Lord speaking. And then there have been preachers throughout the Scriptures, Jesus Himself being a preacher. Today, we will consider the curiosity of listening to preaching, listening to sermons, listening to the Word of God spoken. All right? People go to church gatherings. They go to hear the sermon, among other things. They gather for the sermon. I think in one of the old Mayberry episodes, they referred to Sunday go to meeting. So they were going to meet, but they were going to hear the preaching of the Word. People are to be receptive. This is an oddity in our day and age. Okay, there's the State of the Union address, but that's really not that quiet. And even after the State of the Union address, there's all this back and forth and chitter and chatter going on. Well, we gather and we're to be quiet. Somewhat. There's supposed to be noise. There's supposed to be noises of babies and noises of people. Even it's supposed to happen. But generally speaking, we are a receptive people. We're bending our ears. We're listening for a period of time. And this is curious to people. You come in and you sit down and you listen. This is a curiosity in our supposedly interactive age, because it is falsely thought that listening to a sermon is not interactive, or for some, not interactive enough. Here are curiosities with sermons. The content. Opinions are all over the map on this. More passages of Scripture, less passages of Scripture, shorter sermons, no, longer sermons, sometimes even the same sermon. Someone will say, I wish that that was half as long, and other people say, I wish you would have kept going. It's curious. No stories at all, some people will say. Other people say, tell more stories, please. Illustrations, more illustrations, please. More humor, and some will say, none at all. It's not the place. There are time limit taboos as well. A sermon should be only so long. And certainly not in some congregations after 12 noon. Never. That's the cutoff, because in those churches, usually you'd end with the sermon, not with the table of the Lord. There are taboo topics as well. And to modify something that the Apostle Paul said, for some people, they think you should, in a sermon, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, and certainly don't deal with that subject. Opinions are all over the place, and yet we should deal with everywhere and anywhere and in the way that the Scriptures take us. We should deal with that, and particularly even in our own day. So sometimes you have to deal with what you're doing here is curious. That's right. Conduct during sermons. It's interesting. Conduct during sermons. Even if some people make it to the sermon, that doesn't mean that they're going to make it through the sermon. For some, it is a time to daydream or to dread or to read their Bibles on their own, or to doodle, or to draw. And yes, I full well understand, regardless of all things considered on NPR, that there are studies that some people process things in different ways, not just to sit down and hear. Some people are active and engaged. But some people can't make it through the sermon, so they'll have to wander about. They'll get up and leave. They'll pass notes. Or in this day and age, perhaps, not that it would ever happen here, they might text someone during the service, check emails, or troll the web. It's not possible. But we do live in a day, I mean, it is possible, but not. We do live in a day when people have their Bibles on their electronic devices. And so we can't simply conclude by looking across the aisle that someone is flipping on a screen, a touch screen. Oh, they're shopping at Amazon. They may be looking at a passage of Scripture. Okay. I've seen children very happy in services. I've seen sleeping children in services. I've seen adults and children weeping during sermons. I've seen men give their lives to Jesus Christ in the middle of a sermon. People just fall apart. Woe is me, I am undone, right in the middle of a sermon. I've seen thirsty ears, and yes, thirsty ears are visible. Thirsty ears are visible. Sleepy eyes are visible even from one direction, if not from the other direction. Extraordinary things have happened. Talk to any pastor. Talk to Pastor Givler. Talk to Elder Douglas as we've preached. Any pastor, anyone who has preached, extraordinary things can and sometimes do happen during the sermon. I can recall doing a graveside funeral and in Phoenix, and I was speaking about the power of God and the Holy Spirit blowing where the Spirit desires. And I was holding my Bible. This was a still, simmering, steaming day at this deserty graveside. Mentioned the wind, the Spirit of God blows where the Spirit wishes. And just then a wind came up, blew the pages of my Bible open. And this is, by the way, a group of non-believers. I had been asked to come and to perform this graveside service. And see? And I went on in that same sermon, and I mentioned that the Lord is not surprised by the fall of any one of us. The mortality rate among human beings is 100%, and that the Lord is not shocked when a hair falls out of your head, or when a tower falls, or when a bird falls out of a tree, or when a leaf falls out of a tree. And just then a leaf came, landed on my Bible. And the people, they're going, what? It was curious. It was odd. Curious things happen. As a little fellow, I can remember thinking ahead to the deaths of my parents and wondering and praying, Lord, how will I handle this? How will you be present to help me handle this? And as a little guy, I used to think, perhaps I was influenced by a little too much TV, but I would think, and by the way, there's good imagery in this, good biblical imagery of a weeping sky. I always thought that on the day of my mother's death or funeral, that it would be raining. And sure enough, I was privileged to stand at my mother's funeral and then at the graveside. And the skies broke forth into rain. And they had set up this tent for the family. And all of a sudden, all those thoughts from my childhood, not knowing that I would have become a minister in training at the time, future minister of Word and Sacraments, I stepped out from underneath the canopy. And the rain just splattered the Gospel of John that I had open. And I thought, curious things have happened. You've all seen curious things happen during the sermon. There's actually, pastorally, I've noticed this over the year. I don't know how else to call this, but I'm going to call it the children with the pew head bonk pause cry. You've heard this over the years. It's this distinctive sound. It's not quite watermelon-like, but when a child's head just goes back right at that height, and of course they'll grow and they'll grow beyond the back of the pew height, but there's that age when it's just the head will go back and you can hear the pew head bonk, and then you just wait for a moment, and then it comes out, the cry afterwards. Curious things have happened, both occurrences, but also the content. And you know, it's interesting. Our Lord is very interested in certain things happening during preaching. Curiosity of preaching, there will be the curiosity of sermons, and that means that there will be sermons given, and people are to hear them. They are to pay attention. And this is interesting. Even the poorest person in the world can pay that. They can pay attention. The second Sunday of Advent, this collect, and a collect is, by the way, a collected or an assembled prayer or a prayer for the assembly. That's what a collect is. Second Sunday of Advent, I'll lead us in this prayer. Blessed Lord, you have caused all of Holy Scripture to be written for our instruction. Grant that we may hear them, read them, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. We're to hear them. And you know, it is possible to put on a show. It is possible to attend to Sunday go to meeting and just sit there to look like you're listening, to look like you're hearing, but not. There's more than one way of not hearing the word. You know, the blatant way, the in-your-face way, I'm just not going to do it. But there's the other way where someone actually attends with their bodily presence. We're there, but they're not hearing. You know what James spoke of, the brother of the Lord, when he said to someone, you're not just to be a hearer of the word, you're to then do the word, both together. Otherwise, you're like someone who walked up to a mirror, looked at your face and said, okay, I see the outlines of my face and I know that I need to take care of that, and then you walk away and you forget. James was referring to what was going on to the exiles. The Son of Man, Ezekiel, was warned by the Lord of people putting on a show. They're supposed to come and they're supposed to hear. They're supposed to be there and bend both ears, but they may not. Maybe they're wandering hither and yon. They haven't been trained in how to listen. The Lord to Ezekiel, the son of man, "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses." Ezekiel 33. "And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.'" "So they come to you as my people do, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain." They're distracted. "Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song, as one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them." Jesus is concerned with the hearing of the word. That's Jesus' concern in our passage. It surfaces here. He was a preacher. He is appointed preaching, and preaching is to be received, and sometimes it is not. This is Jesus' first parable. It's right at the beginning in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. It's a prominent parable. It starts the way. It opens the gate. Pay attention to this parable. It's the parable, Jesus calls it, of the sower. Those are his words for it. Jesus calls it the parable of the sower. It presents someone scattering seeds. The seeds that are scattered, we are told, is the word of God. These seeds land in various places. These various places, we are told, are the hearts of people. The seed landing is different in each place. Each soil, each type of ground is said to have heard the word. Each soil. Here's the simple outline today. Jesus tells the parable. Jesus then speaks about parables. And then Jesus explains this parable. Here we are. Jesus tells the parable. It's straightforward. It's clear. From a boat, sitting in a boat, which is sitting in the sea, a sower went out to sow. This first parable is important because it gets expanded with an explanation. But now, this is just the telling of the parable. The seed lands alongside the field. Why would a sower try to plant seed on a path? He wouldn't. He's casting seed in the field. But some of the seed goes off to the side and lands in the wayside or on the path. It's a hard-packed surface. Birds come and eat the seed. Verses 5 and 6, some seed fell on stony places. They were shallow. It's a lot of rock in there. Didn't have much depth of earth. So what could they do? When they do spring forth, they go up because there's no depth of direction for them to go. The sun then rises just like these little sprigs rose up, and the sun burns them. Verse 7, some seed fell among the thorns. And what do the thorns do? The thorns are busy springing up, and they choke out the seed. This is a weedy, weedy ground. And then last of all, verse 8, others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Okay? Jesus then says this in verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Are you tracking with me? Do you understand? Do you get where I'm going with this? And usually, some people would be going like this and mean it, and they were getting it. Other people would be doing this and not getting it at all. Other people are going, Oh, you're talking to me? Yep. Hearing is a big deal. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9. Do you notice how many times, if you were to read this, if you were just to close your eyes, open your ears, you would hear the word hear repeatedly. Verse 13. I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. Verses 14, quoting Isaiah, hearing you will hear, not understand. Verse 15, their ears are hard of hearing, lest they should hear with their ears. Verse 16, Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, verse 17, I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see. They didn't see it. And to hear what you hear and didn't hear it. Then in verse 18, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Hear, hear, hear. It keeps going on. And then verse 19, even that seed on the stony ground, which we'll look at in a minute, they were hearing the word. The seed that was scattered in the shallow ground among the rocks, they were hearing the word. The seed that was scattered among the thorns, they were hearing the word. And the good ground was hearing the word. Do you hear? Hearing is a big deal here. Hearing, of course, biblically means not just, okay, I let those words rattle around in these holes in my head. It resulted in me doing something. All right. There's the parable. That's the first part of the sermon. Second part. Jesus speaks about parables. Verse 10. Question is asked, Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? Now, try to understand this. It's just like, in a sense, it's like this. You can see what's going on here. Yeah, I know. You look around. I look around. I see you. Sometimes I can see that some people are getting it and other people are not. And the disciples asked, Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? You think this would be clear. Jesus then points to a distinction that is already present. It's the distinction that everyone can see. Jesus points out in verse 11, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. There's a distinction. There's a divide. Parables reveal. Parables conceal. And anytime God's word is preached, it does that. And Jesus' teaching style with the parables does this masterfully. Parables reveal to you the mysteries of the kingdom. You get it. You have ears to hear. But to them who have ears that don't work, they're concealed. Jesus points out here that parable, and we need to clear the air on something. Parables are not cute, homely, little stories that just anyone can get. Oh, wasn't that darling? Wasn't that wonderful? No, parables are weighty, dark sayings. They're riddle-like, and they are about judgment. Here's the judgment. Some have ears to hear. Some do not. Parables reveal it. Jesus goes on to speak of the relationship between gifts and responsibility. There's a relation. Gifts are graces. You've been graced with gifts. You have responsibilities. Too much has been given, graced, much is required. Weighty words here. Verse 12. Whoever has, Jesus is speaking about the relationship. You've been gifted, you've been graced. Whoever has, to him more will be given. He will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, because of this, I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they have eyes, they just don't work. They're like idols. They have ears, their ears are clogged. What's going on here? Well, by the way, this, Matthew Henry says, this is the rule that God always observes in dispensing his gifts. He bestows them upon those who are to improve upon them. You remember the parable of the talents? Lord of this property was going to go out of town. I've got a trip to take. He calls in his stewards. I'm going to give you some talents. I'm going to give you five. I'm going to give you two. And I'm going to give you one. I've got a trip to take. Take care of the property. Work with this. He comes back. And the one steward who had five says, here, master, 10. I've worked, I've improved upon what you've given me. You've graced me, you've blessed me. I've been responsible with it. Here's 10. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a little bit, you're going to be put in charge over much. Person with two comes back and says, here's four. Here's four, master. Well done, very good. Person with one lies. He was graced with one. One, gifted with one. And somebody could stand back and, of course, All the blog posts were about, you know, hey, you can only do so much with one, and they're defending this guy. He starts believing his own press, and he goes up to the master and says, I knew you were a severe and unjust judge. You would call for things where you didn't. You're a liar. Why didn't you just even invest it in the bank and get some interest on it? You're unfaithful. Too much has been given, much is required. But there's something going on here in this context with those who first heard the parable. We need to understand this if we want to understand the Bible. There's an immediate application to them, to those who were not getting it in that situation. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables. This is what's going on. This is what Isaiah said was going to happen. And the Lord quotes Isaiah. Hearing, you're going to hear, and you will not understand it. Seeing, you will see, you're not going to get it. The hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. They're constantly going, huh? What was that? Repeat that again. And their ears, their eyes, they have closed. There's been something going on among this people. They should see, they should hear, and they're not. It's beginning to sound like the history of Israel. Like those who should have known better. The scriptures came to them. The word was present, and they didn't listen. For so long, they have closed their ears. They've closed their eyes. They can't even see the Word Himself when He, Jesus, is standing right in front of them. There's a responsibility to hear. And then Jesus says to His disciples, not so of you. This is not true of you. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see. And blessed, you have blessed ears, they hear. What you are seeing, what you are hearing is something that has been long desired by many, not by all, but by the prophets and the righteous. Verse 17. Truly, I say to you, the prophets and the righteous men, they were doing this, leaning forward, trying to see what it is you're seeing. They're peering and they're peeking. And they're going, shh, 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 I need to catch that. I want to hear that. You're getting to hear it, you're getting to see it, and I am before you. Yes, it's a bit of Israel's history. There were times in, let's just not, even before Israel, even before the Hebrews, at the beginning, there were times when, and this is personal, when there was such a disregard of God's word that it just fell alongside of the field and the devil pecked it up. Devil was right there. Has God said? Pecked up. There have been times in Israel's history when they've been full of enthusiasm and shallowness. The prophet Micah even says, you know what, I have a feeling you'd hire somebody, some kind of boozer prophet. You know, I'll prophesy to these people if they give me enough to drink. Enthusiasm. Let's find some Levitical priest to kind of come in and set up shop in my house. Read the book of Judges. There have been times when they were distracted by their wealth, by their persecutions, by their difficulties. We could think of Deuteronomy 32. Yeshurun and Israel grew fat and sleek. Solomon became blinded by his wealth, and he became divided of heart with his wives and his concubines. And then the kingdom was divided. And there have also been times when there's been good soil. They're hearing it this way. They're hearing the context of the word being proclaimed. Yeah, I've heard that before. I've heard there have been good times when Josiah, righteous King Josiah, has the temple being renovated. They rip open a wall and they find the law of God. Ooh, we better start obeying that. Reforms. Good soil. All right. Jesus told the parable. Jesus explained something about parables, and now He's going to explain this parable. Here we are, verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Okay, Jesus, we know later on, is the sower. Jesus is also the seed because he's the Word of God. All four soils here, wayside, okay, shallow, rocky, stony, thorny, and good soil. All four soils here. Soils are the hearts, and that's what makes this concern us. Soils are the hearts. Soils can be prepared. This then becomes a caution, a warning about hearing God's word. This is curious. Can you hear? First one. Seed was sown, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, by the way, understanding is important. It's being ridiculed in some segments of the church today that understanding is unimportant, or that understanding really means nothing unless you're actually doing something. Biblically, they go together. We need to have some understanding. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Get the picture. Children, you can understand this. You're here listening to sermons. Week after week, year after year, we are to beware of the devil because the devil is aware of the word. Beware. The devil here, the wicked one, is presented like an old bird, an old crusty bird, just waiting, just watching for an easy meal. Perched, scraggy. And this seed never sinks in. The seed lands on hard pack. The seed which was to nourish you pings off, bounces, rolls, lays there, and what was to nourish you becomes a meal for the devil bird. And in such cases, the devil bird eats more of the sown word than these wayside folks, these wayside hearts. Screwtape and Wormwood love the ill-prepared, no attentiveness, so they're always roaming. Got a bad signal, I need to roam. Hey, I got a signal somewhere. Screwtape and Wormwood love those who would not ever work at receiving the word, hearing the word. Loves those. Screwtape and Wormwood love those who would never pray ahead of time. Lord, prepare me to receive your word. They love the lazy, drifting minds, the sleepy eyes, and the lazy ears. Easy pickings or easy peckings for the birds. Fact, even the weakest, most lame, sputtering three-cylinder sermon can find some percolation in prepared soil. Yet, the finest sermons cannot take root in such hardened hearts. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he is scandalized. He stumbles. This is the seed sown among the stones. Shallow. Impressionable. Let's use that image. Impressionable. Like wax. Easy to dent. Look at the seed landed there. Boop! It immediately made a dent. And it's also easy to melt when the heat gets turned on. It's a flash in the pan. Foop! Reminds me of some of those things. Well, take note. Look at this good language. Hey, did you receive the word today? Yes. Receives the word. Hears the word. Immediately,
Boy, this person is right on it. And with joy. What more could you ask for? Beware. Oh, year after year, warning to myself, warning to others, running into somebody who's just right there. Hey, I want to receive it. I want to hear it. Yeah, I'm immediate. I'm on it with joy. But if there's no root, of course it's going to spring up. But when drought or the heat or the winds come, they're gone. Just as immediately they received it with joy, and you find these people, yeah, you know, I'm into that. There's no long obedience in the same direction. Immediately with joy they receive it, and immediately when the heat is on, the winds blow, immediately they stumble. Fascinating word Jesus uses here. Yes, stumbling from persecution. That's right. Tribulation, difficulty, conflict. How many people have you met? You know what? I'm really into Jesus. I really love His Word. But then somebody offends them in the church. They're scandalized by somebody, and they stumble. You know what? I'm out of here. Really? Beware. For such, it's easy in, it's easy out, because they're quickly offended, and inevitably they'll go somewhere else with the same exact texture of skin, and they'll go, you know what, I love this stuff, and then somebody says something or does something because they're sinners, and I'm offended. Both arms get like this. That's among the stones. No, hear the word. When you hear the word, know this. It's not just that there's a devil bird, beware. It's not just that there's going to be tribulation and difficulty and there's going to be offenses that come. Be aware of that too. But don't be like that hard pack, and don't be like this shallow soil. Verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Weedy, thistly ground. Difficulties, conflicts. By the way, what's the difference here? These are desired. These are desired. The other stuff, I don't want tribulation. Don't give me a hard time. I'm out of here. You shouldn't treat me that way. I don't care for that. Stand for Christ. Here, these are the things that people are huffing and puffing for. Yeah, I really want these things, the cares of this world, the riches. Oh, I need that. What happens here? These are the things that we want. But this thorny ground, and it must remind us of the opening of the book of Genesis. This is curse-like language. The thorns and the thistles from the ground. It pertains to sin and the curse. The tree sure looks good. But what did God say? You know, I'd really like to have that. So these folks, while saying yes to Christ and His Word, they are actually scattered and distracted by other supposedly equal allegiances. So the Word gets choked out, and you know when this is happening, when the Word is ignored, devalued, unheard, unread, unprayed, and still such folks are filled with sermons, yet the same pokey, prickly issues exist. The soil provides the nurturing climate for the seed word, but there are so many other weeds and other junk growing in the garden, there's just no fruit. Watch out. Then there's the good ground. This is ground that is prepared. It's ready. It is cultivated. Matthew Henry says it well. He says, good ground doesn't mean that there are not any rocks in the ground. But it's tended. And I see a stone. I need to get that out. Oh, this weed is pulling. I need to get this weed out before it just takes over. This good ground is prepared. It's cultivated. It's opened and aerated soil. How do you know when this is present? Because you're leaning into it. You long to hear the word. You long to look in the mirror. And you long to have that mirror word before you to say, yeah, I need to take care of that. I need to heed the warnings. I need to listen. Yes. I need to repent of the sin. I need to rejoice in the promises. I need to reflect upon the whole. Meditate upon the words. And you know what we have here? We have the exact language again of renewal and restoration. Remember, God made man and woman in His image. This is garden-like language. Be fruitful and multiply. 100-fold, 60, 30, that's fine. 5 talents into 10, fine. 2 into 4, that's fine. 1 into 2, receive the grace and respond to the grace rightly. For God's grace is still present, speaking, and we're to hear. This is garden-like. Be fruitful and multiply. Be like the trees, the fruit trees of Genesis 1 that had seed within them bearing seed. And you shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. And whatever you do shall prosper. But the wicked are not so. But they're like the chaff which the wind blows away. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. But blessed are your ears, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Therefore, hear the word of the sower. Heavenly Father, remove our blindness. May we not be like those completely unaware of ignorance, self-righteousness, presumption, our sins. Let us take heed lest we fall when we think that we stand. We are indeed prone to spiritual pride, exalting ourselves and looking down on others who are supposedly less informed and less discerning. Lord, by your Spirit, open our eyes to see our own sin. Open our eyes to see the deeper truths of your word. And may your word dominate our lives, and may we live as living epistles, revealing your word to others. Grant us to study your word and communicate it with humility and with fear and trembling. Grant us ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray all of this through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all of God's people said, Amen.